Welcome back to Love Boat Project episode 20. We're in the 20s, the roaring 20s.
Amazing. Amazing.
Today we're talking about season one, episode 20. This will be more relevant when we get into different seasons, I think. But the titles for tonight, Taking Sides, Going by the Book, and A Friendly Little Game. I'm Mike Robertson, here, as always, with Mike Taylor.
Ahoy.
Those are pretty straightforward titles, I would say.
Not a lot of room for interpretation, I don't think. Very, I like to call this one the literal episode.
I would say this, and I told you I was almost texted this to you, and I waited.
Yeah.
I would say this was a real throwback. It's funny that we're saying throwback for the same season, but this felt like one of those episodes we did early on.
Completely agree. There's a little comfort there.
Yeah.
It's not too heavy. It's kind of fun. I think it's heavy on laughs too. I think that's kind of a bigger thing.
It's straightforward in terms of we knew everything about everybody in the first half of the first act, pretty much in order. Like, And listen, I'm not saying I want everyone to be like that, but after so many episodes where it was like we had characters getting introduced in the second act, or like, I mean, last week there were 400 people in that episode.
Well, remember how many unlisted, you have all these you know what I mean by unlisted, not in that initial preview. Yeah, they wouldn't have had a porthole. Yeah. So Joanna Kearns, there was like three of them, and then there was three. Yeah, this, I do agree, and I was kind of thinking the same thing when I was watching it. I was like, this is that comfort zone. You know, this is that sort of like, this is, there's something about this and maybe we'll figure it out that it is good. I don't know what it is or enjoyable and makes it fly. I can't put my finger on it though.
I agree. And I really, I have found myself when I watch it the first time I have an opinion. And then when I go back and you're really like taking the notes for it, you're obviously, you know, analyzing it a little deeper. And maybe you start to take some shots at it or whatever. But I really liked this episode. This was like especially in the context of we've had a bit of a stretch here. And so this really did take me back to those halcyon days of episodes like 4 and 5, where it was just an easier watch. So
I mean, I completely agree. And in fact, I think there's a conversation to be had about this episode versus maybe another episode.
Well, it's interesting.
And maybe.
It's interesting. Yeah. So this was originally aired on February 18th, 1978. We have gone back to Saturday. After that, was that Monday night last week?
Monday night.
This is a twofer week. And I think you got your money's worth here on the eve of Washington's birthday.
You get 3 episodes in the course of 7 days. Come on.
Three very different episodes.
Three completely different episodes.
So the plot for this one, older Max and Gladys turn newlyweds Scott and Ellen against one another with bickering. A lot of bickering. Howard uses a dating manual to hit on young Sheila. And card sharp, not a word you hear a lot, Wendell, cheats the crew to pay for passage for him and his wife, Ida. That's generally accurate. Wouldn't say
it's
he's
as plain as it gets.
I wouldn't say he's a card sharp, but yeah.
No. Well, we'll get to it.
So we are in the Saturday night slot, so it's all the same things on TV that night. We got the Jeffersons, we got Maude, we got Fantasy Island. But of course,
big night for TV.
Of course, we have the NBC Saturday Night Movie.
Excellent.
This week, you usually have the humdingers, but this week, I put this one up against anything.
Oh, I can't wait. I love these.
The Ghost of Flight 401, starring Ernest Borgnine.
Oh, I love him.
And Kim Basinger.
What? That's an odd.
An aircraft crashes in the Florida Everglades, killing 103 passengers. Oh. After the wreckage is removed, salvageable parts from the plane are used to repair other aircraft. What could go wrong here, Mike?
Well, I'm just wondering. Yeah, go ahead.
Soon, passengers and crew on those newly repaired airlines report seeing what they believe to be the ghost of the wrecked airplane's flight engineer. 10 stars.
10. You can't have enough stars.
Oh my God.
It's the best, worst, best movie you've ever seen. Oof.
I'm telling you, there needs to be an offshoot podcast where we just go back and watch these movies of the week.
NBC Saturday Night Movies. Not a bad idea.
Every one of them has been fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's gold. It's
gold. Can
you
imagine like Ernest Borgnine's like, there's no such thing as ghosts. I knew that engineer.
Well, I'm just wondering how this, you know, this experience helped him to become Jan Michael Vincent's co-pilot.
Well, there's no engineer on Airwolf.
No,
there should have been.
You know what's funny? There was Airwolf with Ernest Borgnine, and then there was Blue Thunder with a guy that sort of looks like Craig T. Nelson. Competing super helicopter shows. One was on like ABC, one was on CBS. I was a Blue Thunder guy, not an Airwolf guy.
I believe Airwolf was on the same night as Riptide, which was basically Airwolf on a boat.
Pretty much. But it had better. Jan Michael Vincent's just not so, you know.
No, Perry King. Come on. And the other guy, Joseph.
You know what? I got to say, Riptide pretty much was that. Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Sorry.
All right. So we have a pretty extensive cast list, and we have a couple common denominators with this cast.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little ridiculous.
So first of all, returning champions, we're back. We had ended a streak, but we are back in a vengeance with a couple being played by people who have already been on. Diana Canova and Robert Urich, your guy. Robert Urich is back.
Love him.
They play the married couple of Scott and Ellen Desmond. Now, if you remember, Mike, Diana Canova was on episode 7 where she portrayed twins. Their names were Ellen and Helen.
No. We referred to them as glasses.
Glasses and not glasses.
Not glasses.
But the script writers who got paid for this.
Fair enough.
Named her Ellen and Helen. And what is her name in this episode? Ellen.
Ellen. Oh.
I mean, here's
the thing. Is it the same character?
It can't be, right?
I don't know. I didn't,
which one was
what was the last name on episode 7? I don't
think they ever gave him last names. But which one was the, like, there's no way Glasses married Robert Urich that quickly. But I guess
Glasses has to be Helen. That's just a hunch.
Yeah, that makes sense. So that would be fun if it was the same character. Because that was episode 7. This is episode 20. So yeah.
She immediately hooked up with some dude as soon as she got off the boat. So she could be back 13 episodes later.
And I still think she might be carrying Doc's baby. Doc was doing work in that episode.
One of them is.
The other common denominator is between those two and also Robert Mandan, who plays Max Watkins. Mm-hmm. We have 3 soap cast members.
I have a confession for you. Never seen an episode of soap.
Well, here's the first problem is it's very hard to find soap streaming. If we ever can, well like worth your time. It is tremendous. It's one of my, I watched it as a kid reruns with my dad, who was a huge Richard Mulligan fan. Richard Mulligan plays like the exasperated father of the poorer set on soap. It's tremendous.
Is Benson a spinoff of soap?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
I love Benson. Love Benson.
Yeah. It's tremendous. I guarantee you it holds up. It was way ahead of its time.
Let's check it out.
I will not be surprised to find out in a couple years here if Soap and Love Boat were on the same studio lot, because this is a lot of soap people. We just had 2 people on from Soap 2 weeks ago. Now we've got 3 on today. So we've had Richard Mulligan.
Interesting.
It's a lot. Soap might be winning actually now.
I have to go back and check the records.
But I think Soap is winning.
I'm gonna check it out. Well, it's either that or MASH. I mean, we're getting hit with MASH all over the place.
Yeah. Speaking of,
yeah,
Harry Morgan plays Wendell Sneed. His wife, unfortunately, did not make the credits.
Yeah, what was her name? Liv or Illa?
Ida.
Or Ida.
Ida. Priscilla Morrill played Ida, and she got dumped into the no portals. And she gets dumped with Herb, who's on for a minute, and Bernie, who's on even less.
Yeah, poor it's Ida. Weird. Poor Ida. Can I say something about Harry Morgan is so darn likable.
Yes.
Yeah. There's just that thing that I don't know if it's because of the Colonel Potter thing where that's what I associate.
Because he's a little guy, too.
And he was on Aftermath as well, by the way.
Well, we're back to back. Back to back Aftermath.
Back to back
Aftermath. Father Mulcahy's on next week?
Oh, let's hope so. Let's hope so.
Let's do this.
Who's the next? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we know it's not Alda.
Alda's not coming on. I don't think BJ or Trapper John need to.
What about the English guy?
Yeah, I think him. So who we got? Him. We got Frank Burns. We got
that Rizzo guy. Remember, he was like in the infantry.
No, he's not big enough to count. That's what I mean. I guess it would count. And then we have what's his name? McLean Stevenson.
McLean Stevenson.
Yeah, I think he's going to be
see,
on.
Maybe not this season, but he's destined to be on this.
I feel like we're going to hit a run season 5 or 6 when MASH is wrapping up, when these guys are trying to get their stuff out there.
Or after
we're
MASH.
Lousy. We're going to be lousy with MASH.
Jamie Farr is on 17 episodes in a row. Different characters. It's amazing. I mean,
he didn't do a lot last week. There was a lot of meat on that Jamie Farr bone last week.
Well, they love to throw his name in the guest stars, but they didn't use him. They should come on. It's Jamie Farr. Show him respect.
Real quick, Harvey Jason plays Howard Wilson. He was way more of a stage guy. I was surprised. He was very good in this as a nerd, but didn't really have anything that I recognized him from.
No, I thought he did a good job. I thought it was well cast.
They do good with the nerds.
Yeah. I mean, well, he didn't go. It was all right. It wasn't a caricature.
Speaking of Joanna Kearns, remember that episode where she picks up the nerdy guy and he was nerdy, but they didn't go too far. Like it was just perfect. They did a good job.
It was good.
Male nerds.
Yeah. Only with the male nerds. They love the wide brush, but only with everyone but nerds.
Yeah, and female ditz. We got another female ditz, but this lady is a pro at playing ditzes.
Oh, this is
but
her.
This is her wheelhouse. Georgia Engel.
She's living that gimmick too, I bet, in interviews.
Ooh. Georgia Engel plays Sheila Lawrence. Of course, this is a Mary Tyler Moore reunion because she had been on Mary Tyler Moore, and they gave a little fan service at one point, Stubing and her in the same scene. And actually, Ida was Lou Grant's wife.
Jeez. No, so I do know some Mary Tyler Moore. You're getting those.
We're getting into it now, right? So they're starting to do little winks, which is nice. I appreciate that.
I appreciate that as well.
So we'll get more into Sheila because I thought it was interesting. I knew her first as being the wife of the athletic director, Howard, in Coach.
Oh God, I love that show. Yeah, she was great. She was great. Love that show. It's so funny.
And it was very distracting because she was in love interest with Howard. She kept saying Howard and made me think of Coach.
That's funny. Who was her dad in this? Did you see was he somebody? He looked like he might be, but I don't know.
You know what? His main credit is that he was one of the air traffic controllers in Airplane. But not, I mean, if it's not
one of the funny ones.
No, exactly. So. Like
guy in background. Okay.
Right. He wasn't Jimmy. Sure. Like it wasn't.
No.
And then the last.
The door in. Yeah.
The last but not least, we already mentioned Robert Manda, but Audrey Meadows playing Gladys Watkins.
Love her.
Of course, from The Honeymooners. And it's like you bring in Audrey Meadows to play a bickering wife, long-suffering wife, that's like getting Baryshnikov to show up on your American Bandstand show. It was a masterclass, absolute masterclass.
The tone, the timing, the delivery, She's great.
I mean, she kind of, I'm not going to say she invented it because that's disrespectful to radio performers, but it's like on TV, she invented
it. Yeah. She's, let me ask you, is she the biggest star to be on the show so far? At this point at this year in 1978.
I still think Milton Berle is a bigger TV star. If it had been Jackie Gleason.
Oh, and then there's no question.
Now that said, The Honeymooners is as big a deal as there ever was, right? And
that's
we're 20 years out of The Honeymooners at this point.
Like, yeah.
And she's still got her chops. This isn't like,
I'm saying, like, that's what I was thinking. Like, she's up there, I think. You know, I think she's in the top.
Well, it's interesting too, because we always talk about one of the things we like is when somebody plays against type, and that's fun to see. But what's also fun to see is somebody just doing what they do best and just dominating in that performance, you know?
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And she just, it stands out. And she made it look so, I'll say believable, but kind of believable. Like it felt like she wasn't playing a role. Like just, she was playing Audrey Meadows.
Right.
Who's Gladys Watkins? I don't know.
But not in a cliche way.
No, not in a Honeymooner sort of
note. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So. It wasn't like a stencil where it's, she was just great. She knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. I would say this is excellent casting all around. Didn't feel like anybody. I was a little worried about Yurik early because I thought he was playing a bit of a dunce, but I think he brought it back.
He had a little lack of consistency with that character, but it's
right. But I was really worried because he was so blah. The first episode, I was like, "Oh, is Robert Yurik just bad on the Love Boat?" But he fixed it by the end. So that's all the cast. Anything before we get on?
Yeah, I just want to bring up something. So I've been looking at the ratings. I love to see these ratings. I just think it's interesting, and I just want to say, do you want to know the rating ahead of time, or would you like to know the rating at the end, so we can sort of have a guess of what we think the rating is?
I would say let's have it beforehand because I feel like I feel like when we get into the discussion, it maybe changes my opinion.
Fair enough.
And
fair
also
enough.
I have an opinion about this.
So episode. Yeah, same here. Same here.
And I know that there's not a wide variance. So, you know,
this one 6.7.
So lower than last week.
Yeah. And I don't agree at all. I would go maybe 7. I would
there's
go 7.
We will talk about it when we have the discussion. I think you're loading up to have. There is one what I feel is a bit of a flaw in this episode, but it's definitely the best one we've seen in weeks.
But if it's good enough, you can overlook those little.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I don't think IMDb ratings are being this nuanced, but.
Yeah. No. And I don't think that's necessarily the scale. It's just sort of interesting to see a measurement for the quality of this episode.
Sure.
You know, but I definitely disagree. It's way higher than the 6.7.
So let's get on the boat, but we're not on the boat yet. Because we open up with another throwback that we haven't had in a while. Cars, cabs, parking lot.
What are cars?
It's perfect because we've talked about this. Some people just need to be dropped off. We think of this thing as a big airport, right? Like, you just got to be dropped off.
You saw the customs. There was a customs, like, entrance, and that was kind of interesting to see. We never see this.
And we haven't. All of this made sense because this felt like the one episode where everybody got on the boat and already knew their room assignment. And they were asking more for directions as opposed to the room assignment, which is how it should go.
I agree. And it's nice to see an introduction of a character, maybe not all of them, of a character where you don't just meet everyone in that same camera shot in that like rotunda area. I liked it.
Yeah, they did a great job of getting everybody's exposition in where it didn't feel like forced.
It was good setup. Yeah. It felt like organically they're getting on the boat, not they're just walking in some door.
Right. So Bernie drops off his friend Howard in front of the boat, and he gives him a book to help make the cruise a little easier with the ladies for old Howard.
Sure.
Howard is he's a real clod with the ladies or something like that. So,
yeah.
And of course, what book would you want, you know, to give your buddy who's not as smooth with the women is the popular paperback, How to Hit on Girls.
Yeah. How many subtle pages cover in that book?
As well, I thought.
Yeah, how many pages? That book looked pretty thick. And I'm like, good Lord, like, is this a step-by-step? I hope it's not a step-by-step book, because...
Yeah, but it read, every time he looked at it, it read more like with paragraphs and stuff, and you would think it would just be a bunch of bullet points, right?
Like, that's what I thought it was like, but I also thought it was like almost like a phrase book, like of like all these things.
Or like a joke book.
Like a Fodor's or something like that, where you're like, oh, you're on a date for dinner, and it's red tab, and you go, it was weird.
It should be one pickup line on each page, and then room lines so you can write their numbers down. Because you're so successful. Yeah, maybe a rating system, because that's, 1978. Burt Reynolds catches a shout out. A lot of shout outs in this episode, but he gets one. Like that's how good this book is going to be. Howard's going to be getting calls from Burt Reynolds for advice.
Oh, tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Right. Howard is, understandably maybe like, I don't think that's going to work, and that's not my style and all that stuff. So Bernie's like, hold on a second, let me show you how this book works.
Look at this guy, like a magician, this guy.
So the line he picks out of the book is basically, he's like, are you a professional model? And he's like, do you think that girl is attractive? And it's just some girl standing on the dock. I guess rando. She just got off a boat. They didn't really explain that.
I don't know. Maybe she was hanging out with Bob Crane and she was leaving. I don't know.
Oh, no. And he goes over, he's like, excuse me, you look like a professional model. And she's like, well, I am a professional model. And he's like, you want to get in my car? And they just leave.
She just gets in the car with a complete stranger. And bye.
You never see Bernie or the girl again in the rest of the episode. So
Bernie's to his friend. He's like, see?
Yeah.
Ugh. I guarantee you that that's not the first time he's done that, like in front of Howard.
Oh, you think he's the alpha? He's the alpha.
Oh, he's just creepy. He's just creepy and has an awesome car, apparently.
So do you want to get into the potential autobiographical scenarios with you and Howard, or do you want to wait as we get into this?
I mean, whatever, let it rip, man.
I'm just saying, like, we've established on this show that maybe you're not someone who would be zinging out, one-liners to ladies in your single days. Is Howard someone you consider some sort of, reflection of that life correctly, or no?
I tell you what he did in the course of this episode was, in one word, inspirational. Look, Bernie could give me that book and I could go on a cruise as a single person with that book. But chances are I'm probably bringing some sort of gaming system with me. I'm never opening that book. I'm probably never leaving the room, except for like a quick dip early in the morning when no one's really up.
You and what's his name? Courtney Steubing.
Yeah, me and Courtney Steubing practicing ballet. I'm not skeet shooting. Yeah, I'm not. No. That book would be wasted on me, as would this cruise. I would stay home and never get in the car with Bernie to go to be like, nah, I'm good, man. I'm good.
I wonder if Howard would have done that, like not open the book or whatever, if he hadn't walked in on a hot blonde as soon as he got into the lobby.
He was so smitten.
Yes.
That it was like, I don't even, that whole book thing would have even had to happen. I think good for him that there was some sort of like divine intervention. So at least he had a phrase to say to this person that he was smitten with.
Yeah. And she was also smitten. Like, that stuff just doesn't work.
Yeah.
I mean, he got her back even.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought he was inspirational. I was rooting for him the whole time.
Hey, Howard, it turns out the book was inside you the whole time.
You are the book. We all have a little bit of the book inside of us.
I just love the cover. I love the cover art, which was the guy like so lurching on a girl.
I bet you there was some creepy stuff. This is 1978.
Also, let's say if you're gonna have a book regular size with that gigantic, let's make it a little more subtle. Like, let's maybe have a little title in the book corner, or
just little, like little tiny, yeah, maybe flashcards
or something, like in a paper small bag.
So, paper bag, yeah. What are you doing? I'm reading a book in a paper bag, or put it inside of a magazine or something. Just be cool about it.
But not
put it in like the Bible. No one would ever suspect.
Oh, that'd be nice if you're just walking around the Bible. Mm-hmm. Like, there's got to be a Gideon's one in the drawer upstairs.
Well, Gideon actually makes a How to Hit on Girls book too, so they combine it.
Those are different hotels. Those are hourly hotels.
Very different.
Newlyweds Ellen and Scott Desmond have been married for 5 hours, and they are on the boat. But if you notice, they are not dressed as bride and groom, unlike the most recent newlyweds we had. So
that's right.
Give himself some time.
I love him. Like, he's great. So I.
No, I know you're a fan. We've talked about this a couple times now. Just the whole idea of going on your honeymoon immediately after the wedding is, I don't want to say antiquated just because we all didn't do it, but like, it does feel like a different time. But 5 hours, man, did you even have a reception?
Like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you have to really literally be coming from, or since everyone goes on these cruises that lives in Los Angeles, they probably got married across the street. They live real close.
Justice of the peace across
the street. It's not even a thing. Like, they go on this and they're like, this kind of sucks for a honeymoon, to be honest with you, but we just got married 5 days.
It does. It really does. You're in a small room. You're I know you can go to different stops, but
well, if you're in LA, well, let me ask you this. Let's say you lived in Las Vegas and you get married, right? Not a Vegas wedding, but like, you met, where do you go on your honeymoon? Where do you go, to Cleveland?
I just don't. And the other thing is too, like, I get it because it's your honeymoon, but if you're not having a reception and you're just doing, maybe it's the thing where they didn't spend money on the wedding, they spent money on the cruise. But then get married on the cruise.
How much could this cruise be?
Well, funny you say that, because I feel like it comes up a lot again this week.
It does. It does.
This week, the cruise is expensive. Mortgage expensive.
Right. Like, what? How much is your mortgage?
How much is your house?
Like, what is your house? What are you doing on the boat? Like,
He was a colonel in Korea, so they're going up the steps because they have to get their honeymoon going, and coming down the steps to juxtapose are Max and Gladys. And of course it's the whole thing where Max and Gladys are bickering about, you know, Max wants to be in Rome and this and that. And the newlyweds are like, oh, how quaint, these old married people fighting. We'll never fight like this. Yurik says he doesn't know where Coney Island is, which is weird.
Funny.
What a hayseed.
Just bickering already. I don't blame them. Rome would be better. You've been married. Who knows? You know, you're going on this vacation. Is that, you want to go to? Okay.
I don't want to go to a cruise, obviously, but I do understand maybe not wanting to go somewhere for a fourth time.
Yeah.
Like, so go somewhere new.
Yeah, I don't get it. I think you. I mean, unless you just loved it.
I mean, neither of these couples talk to anyone else.
No, there's no interaction. There's no interaction.
Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure no one on this boat talks to anyone outside of the crew and their storyline this week. So,
hey, no captain's dinner again this week.
Which is funny because we were in there for a while too.
I thought when they showed the scene with these two couples sitting together, when they like panned out, I was for sure, because they were sitting woman, man, woman, and then he went, I was like, that's got to be the captain's table. And then they went, no, it was a little round table. What happened to the captain's? That was a whole big thing.
Whenever we don't have a captain's table, I assume part of it is shooting schedules. Like, if you notice, these were all very siloed stories, right? Except for
there's no carryover.
Right. And so I do wonder if availability and things like that have something to do with it. Like, you can't have two storylines at the captain's table if they're not shooting the same period of time. I wonder, I don't know. because you're right. It's been a, is the last one Zsa Zsa Gabor or the other one, Eva Gabor? Where Leslie Nielsen runs out?
Mate. Maybe. So the Mate dog, was one right? more.
Or Radar. I can't remember. Well, that,
I don't. Yeah. That was a weird one, too, because it was just a solo shot of him right. eating soup.
It's been a, it's been a while. What? The Sneeds have arrived.
Wendell.
Wendell and Ida. So. One of your favorite things, Colonel Potter is a bit of an oversharer. He tells Julie that they're meeting their grandkids in Mexico for the first time, and yeah, Ida cons Julie into giving a tour. Like, it's at this point, if you had told me these two were hustlers, I would have believed it.
This it was, of, yeah, it was
a lot of stuff, a lot of information. Yeah,
look over here, like, there are a lot of diversions. Mm-hmm.
I did think it was funny that Julie was like, oh, they'll be so happy to meet you, too. You know why? He's an older gentleman. Julie Julie's.
Oh, she was trying to get Harry back. She's trying to get Colonel Julie's Potter. Type.
Older. Same, no one too old for Julie.
Yeah, because she was like, Robert Urich, too young. Too young for me.
Yeah, why wasn't that more awkward when they were interacting?
Mm-hmm.
You guys just hooked up earlier.
It's weird. What, you don't even remember? All right.
So the Sneeds go in, and this is where we kind of hear about Ida starting to fret about the money. But Ida can't fly. That was dropped in here. I guess as an explanation as to the desperation that Harry Morgan had.
The boat. The doctor, yeah, the doctor ordered her not to fly. What kind? What is that? B.A. Baracus disease? Well, doesn't even make any sense. I ain't getting on no plane, Hannibal.
She's got inner ear. She almost died of inner ear.
I mean, does Wendell have to set up like two glasses of milk before he goes on a trip? And he's like, here you go. She's like, you're not going to get me, Hannibal. And she drinks the other one, but he got the other one and flipped it because Hannibal. Well,
and this is what bothers me is they don't say where they're from.
Well, it's very luxurious, they say. Very luxurious.
But they don't say where they're from. At the end, they get in a cab. I assume they're right close up the street. LA, but we don't know.
Everybody is. Everybody right. lives a block away.
Why don't we drive? Why didn't we just drive to Mexico?
Well, that's the right. It's the thing. Are we to believe that they like drove from insert?
I mean, they feel Ohio, very Midwestern, like, right?
They feel very Midwestern. I was thinking like Wisconsin, like real, you know, over outside of just something like that.
When you have Harry Morgan as your character, he's Midwestern. He just is. I don't know where he's from. I'm pretty sure it was Midwestern.
But he's got no accent either. It's just this clean sort of. Yeah, I was kind of bizarre. Los
Angeles. He was in Los Angeles Cop and Dragnet, so maybe this is his.
Maybe it's the same guy. Same guy.
That makes sense.
Then why would he even bring up about his wife not flying? Oh, because they could have flown to Mexico. Why not take?
I think he brings it up to highlight. I think ultimately it highlights the desperation that he felt. She wanted to see the grandkids, but because of her near death inner ear disorder or whatever happened. So.
Or he just said, no. The doctor said you can't fly. That's what he did. That's what Wendell did. That's what they did back then.
I mean, to be fair, he does other stuff that he doesn't tell his wife about. That's way fair worse. Enough.
You never know. You never know.
So they walk in, they're having this conversation, and they just decide to, I guess they're going to the elevator, and they just stand in front of a conversation between two boat employees.
Yeah, that was a little...
For a while.
A little nosy.
Yeah, Gopher has brought over the plot box for this week, which is the emergency crew fund filled with money, and it's time for Isaac to pay. We've never heard about this before or after. Gopher has decided that when everyone is getting on the ship is the best time to carry around a box of money and ask the bartender for his $10.
It's so weird. $635 to be exact. Such a weird.
Which is a lot if it's only five crew members, but it's not a lot if it's a fully staffed boat.
Well, it's a lot of you're sweating $10 from like your best friend on the boat. Like, relax. Well, we all know when we get paid. He's probably trying to get it before you had a day off.
Does that make you think that there are 63 employees on this boat and everybody pays $10 a month?
Who's paying who's got five? So who had to pay?
Steuben pays 15, or the monkey pays five. On the other
five. I like to think the monkey pays five,
but it's probably somebody else's five.
Somebody owes five something.
This of course is all set up.
Just nothing but set up.
I mean, very, very blunt. So, but Isaac protests giving the $10 to Gopher because Gopher owes him $10 from their last gin rummy game.
That gin rummy.
Wendell's ears perk up a bit, and he immediately goes over to Gopher and says that I heard you guys played gin rummy, and I would like to get on a game. So at this point, did you think he was going to be a con man, like an actual card shark, or kind of more how it played out?
You know, because the title of the story was A Friendly Little Game, I didn't know where it was going when I saw it, but I didn't think. I thought it was just going to be a friendly little game, but then the money thing. Honestly, I thought Gopher was going to take his money. Because to me, Colonel Potter's not a...
Right. I immediately thought we were getting a hustler in here.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely didn't think that.
The fact that they hit, you know, the money thing and all that. Right. So it ended up not really being what I thought it was going to be.
No,
more to detriment, but we'll get to that. But anyway, Ida comes over.
It was a good setup.
Right. Ida comes over, blows him up immediately, says he sucks at cards, and Gopher's like, oh, yes, we should play. Now, this is, again, where I thought they were in on it together. It's perfect, right?
It's so cynical to think poor Ida. Like, I can see it in her eye. Well, it's not beyond the, you know.
She ran to that bingo hall pretty fast.
She did run to that bingo hall.
Steuben is talking. This makes no sense. Steuben is just talking to Herb, reassuring him that his daughter will be fine on the cruise. They never, ever explain who Herb is in relation to Steuben.
He's got to be some.
If he had said Mr. Johnson, then you would have been like, oh, okay, this guy has reached out to the captain to take
Commissioner Lawrence or like right. something like yeah, so mayor some or Mr. Mayor will take good care of your daughter. Like that would have been perfect. Right.
Like, does he work for the ship line? Is he an old Navy buddy? Whatever it is.
There was a connection there somehow.
Just give me a line. Like, you finally have someone that doesn't despise Steuben and you give me nothing in terms of background.
Nothing. Nothing. And it's funny because even at the end, they had like a rapport where Steuben could kind of sort of keep it real with him and wasn't, it was odd that they just, that's why I was like, who's the actor? Like, I didn't know anything about that character. Like he had to be somebody.
No.
But apparently he wasn't.
One line. We just got really no explanation of the relationship. It would have been very simple.
Well, don't you think on that Valentine's one then, they would all have been lined up, all the dads, to come on the boat and go, look, I need you to look out for my daughter. There'd be a whole line of hundreds of them.
I mean,
saying, it was ridiculous. He had to be somebody. Yeah, know I mean, what that's what I'm saying.
His dad was a little protective. She's like 30 years old.
But he was given off like he was in charge of something. He definitely, he had a thing, you know.
That I agree with. Anyway, somehow this 30-year-old needs a chaperone. And really, who better to chaperone your 30-year-old hot daughter than Adam Bricker.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Like, are you kidding me?
It's great because it doesn't go well. There are definitely parts where I'm not sure if Doc's making moves or not, but, you know, it's like Doc immediately admits he sucks at it. Like it was played exactly right, but it is just funny. Like, Herb clearly didn't know Steuben that well, right? He would have been like, what?
Yeah.
All the people?
Adam Bricker.
Where's that police dog? Like,
yeah, he was. Doc was like, Captain Steubing doesn't know. See, I think that's like Captain Steubing. That's some enabling behavior.
Do you think he hates her?
Put him? No, you obviously put Julie to watch this lady. Why wouldn't you have Julie do this?
Yeah, or Gopher, honestly. Well, he thinks Gopher's incompetent.
No, because he'll get smitten. You know how he is. He thinks
Gopher's incompetent, yeah.
And he falls in love with girls. He can't even see, you know, a third of their face. You know, so this
is like having a bear watch your meat. This is just a terrible idea.
It's not a good idea. Like, you know, it's not good. Okay. All right.
So Sheila shows up. And she is ditzy, but she's attractive, so Doc is immediately in. Sheila thinks this is stupid. It is stupid to have a chaperone. But they don't hit that crazy hard. And then Howard walks right in as Herb walks out. And like you said, smitten. Absolutely smitten.
Right off the bat. Good for him.
But it gives us an opportunity to show Doc as his chaperone. And Doc is a chaperone the way I used to be a lifeguard, where I would just be like way overprotective. And like, ultimately, my goal was that you didn't get killed in the pool.
So that's it. It's an all or nothing sum.
That's not my problem.
I don't care. You lived.
It's a zero sum game as far as Doc is concerned. Yeah. So he immediately shuts it down for the first of what I think is like 9 different times of Howard getting shut down by Doc.
Yeah, because Doc, again, he's the, I presume, the only doctor on the ship. This dude never has anything to do, ever, medically. Ever, 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 ever. How many instances have we actually seen where he's, okay, he did deliver a baby. All right,
delivered a baby. Put that old guy on the launch last couple weeks ago.
He put Bill Bixby in a wheelchair.
He gave Charo those tummy pills.
Those tummy pills after he...
He has gotten off... It's funny, I've been prepping for the stubbies.
As of
first week in May. Mm-hmm. And I noticed in the early episodes, it's a very Doc passing out pills heavy. We haven't really had a lot of that lately. So I wonder if they pulled that back on purpose.
They're like, let's just make him kind of a womanizer. But even in this, he wasn't.
Well, that's the big monkey the elephant in the room here, right? Is Doc's on a bit of a cold spell. If you choose to believe that he was at least putting his toes in the water with Sheila this week, right? He's had a bunch of weeks in a row with no action.
Well, I think the character itself is more synonymous with being with tons of women than the character really is. You know what I mean? It's like because really hadn't been that many this season.
Now, don't forget, last week we ended up deciding that him and Patty Duke did.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They hooked up. Yeah.
So I should retract that. But we have
like 4 or 5.
Well, the twins. That's 2.
I don't even know how you. Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to go through the list.
Yeah.
There was
a good thing to be on the stubbies.
Didn't he hook up with the girl that Leslie Nielsen was hooking up with at the end?
Yeah. Yeah.
He had a girl with him the night Roxy Blue showed up.
Yeah.
So. There's a few.
Yeah, you know what?
It's either him or Julie.
Ooh, I have to
pour through the documents.
All right.
I know it's not Steubing. Steubing's last.
Oh God, no.
The wave shot, which we don't always highlight, but I did appreciate that Sheila threw confetti on herself and Max was cranky. So I like when people stick to their actual character.
Live in the character. I love it.
Yeah. All right, we're back in the Sneed room, and Ida is still really concerned about the price of the cruise, which, again, this week it's expensive. And Max takes like 3 seconds and immediately confesses that he took out a small mortgage on their house.
They just got on the boat. Like, she's like, well, can't they? I would have been, if I was her, I'd be like, couldn't they have just visited us?
That's a good point. That's an excellent point, especially once you can't fly. Once you're grounded.
We're meeting them in Mexico?
Those parents.
We live in Los Angeles. What are you talking about?
That's a good point. Down. I hadn't even thought about that.
Have them come to your house.
That's a
different show completely, but yeah.
I feel like the taking out a secret mortgage thing is a TV trope. I cannot imagine the world of hurt I would be in if I somehow took out a second. I don't know that I would know how to take out a second mortgage on that.
I wouldn't even know how to do that. Yeah.
but I imagine I would be in a lot of trouble with that. So, but Ida's kind of like, oh, well, I've always trusted you. This is a very 1978 old people reaction.
They think she's not like, she can't say what she wants to say because she's of a time when you just didn't do that. So she didn't go to the bingo. She's in there just doing shot after shot after shot. She's so miserable.
What if she was going to lose the
house
to make that money back?
To who?
Oh.
Anybody, anyone.
We only met like seven people on this boat.
It's like 400 people on this boat. If everyone gives me $6, well, you do the math.
So Wendell has no plan. I mean, he does have a plan, but
the worst plan ever.
Right. His out loud plan is pretty bad. Like, they, regardless of how cheap apparently a mortgage is in 1978 for these people, it's like you are not making any money. They established that you have a small pension. You're taking out a mortgage to go on this cruise. You know what, bub? This ain't it. It's 1978. There are buses. There are trains. To your point, they can
visit
me
at home. We don't have enough money to travel. Can you come here? And those kids weren't young. You've met them before. Relax.
Walk on the boat. Like, half these people are not paying anyway.
If you get on, if those family members are getting on the ship in Mexico, what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Just then take the boat to LA. It's the next stop.
Why wouldn't they just reverse it? You're right.
Like, what are you talking about? Doesn't make any sense.
Drug runners.
Something. Somebody's full of something.
Ida's
a mule.
Yep. Julie comes over the PA to announce bingo. And like we said, Ida runs out like a shot. And this is where I really thought they were like, oh, they're just both going to spend the whole episode trying to make money in any way possible.
Sure. Shuffleboard tourney. Nope.
But it seemed like Wendell was just trying to get her out of the room, you know, so he could get to it. Before we get to the deck of cards,
I can't wait.
I do like, and maybe it's intentional and maybe it's not, because there ended up being a lot of PA announcements in this one, but they kind of did it for the radar episode. I do like when the MASH people are on, they do the PA system in a way that could be
a bit of
a joke. So
that's
funny.
There was a lot of PA.
Right.
But which is nice.
Wendell pulls out his deck of cards.
What does the deck say?
So the label on the deck, on the box.
Yeah.
It says magic marked cards.
That's it.
So, and then
no mystery at all.
Nope. And then when you open up the box and you have the cards, right? And it's like the rules card or whatever like that. And no, it's how to fool your friends at cards.
Oh man. I thought it was funny. Like, I'm seeing that. And I see he like takes the cards out and he's looking at the little guy. And like, you just started working on this now? And he's like, Jack of Hearts. Ten of Spades. Like, you didn't work this out. This is your plan to pay this off. You don't even play cards until you get on the ship.
I just those aren't going cheap. To bed at like 4 o'clock every night. Come on, man. You buy that thing 2 weeks ago.
Like, come on. And 10 minutes
a day? You're going to have me believe he taught himself how to do all this in an hour?
Not even. It was so, to the point that like you, and it,
He bankrupted Princess Line.
Those cards all look the same. It was like very subtle. Like he's going to pick it up. Come on. So funny.
So I was surprised because I really thought he was going to be a cheater. And so when he pulled out that deck, I laughed so hard.
So I was like, that. Oh, that's the worst. That's the worst thing ever. You don't even have an accomplice.
I legitimately expected it. He opens up the deck of cards. I missed the box the first time. Mm-hmm. So he takes the card out of the deck.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking he's going to do, you know,
something.
You know, like all that stuff.
Some trickery.
No, it's just.
Nope.
Out of
three cards down. Three cards down. Jack of hearts. Got it. And he does it for three cards. And he's like, I'm good. Where's Gopher? Like, what? What is that saying? Like, if you do something like for 10,000 hours, you become an expert.
The Malcolm Gladwell thing.
Yeah. What is he did this for?
10,000 hours. Yeah.
He did this for 51 minutes, maybe. With hopefully, he did it with more than. I mean, time alone, it's going to take that long just to get through the whole deck. And it wasn't a lot of prep time for him to win all that
banging
money.
Gin every time he's playing gin. So. Yes. That made me laugh. That made me laugh a lot.
Was your potential prop this evening? Was it a deck of cards that said magic marked cards?
I forgot my potential prop. Hold on.
What is that? What does it say?
Aces.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. I feel like we need a PA announcement.
I forgot that I had this Aces hat. So it's dinner time. And the two married couples are sitting next to each other, and shockingly, bickering ensues.
Why would they sit them together, dude? You have a newlywed, and you have these people that are miserable. Like, why would you go, this is great, they'll mix.
How much time do you think Julie's actually putting in to this seat assignment? Or is it like, oh, you passed each other in the hallway, you're both married couples.
So weird. It's so weird.
You do seem to pair off the couples, though, right? Like, so...
Okay, here's the thing. I put myself in the situation. Like, I'm never going to go on a cruise. Like, Mrs. Taylor's not down with a cruise. But let's say I'm on the cruise. She and I go out to dinner. And they put some stranger danger people at the same table as a way to, like, encourage. No. That's like, remember those communal tables they used to have in those restaurants?
Yeah.
Where it was like once. No. Come on. Terrible. It's the same thing. Everything on this boat is communal.
But I think that's the expectation, is that's how it works.
I want to know how much a ticket is to not have that experience. Like, how much is it like?
Just a real misanthropic boat.
Yeah, like, cut me out of all that. Can I get it cheaper? And maybe like, it's so awkward to me. And I don't mean to harp on it, but essentially that's the setup for this story. Is that these couples, you know, they briefly interacted before, and now they're, here we go, the bickering, and here. It's just odd to me. It's two completely different sides of the spectrum. Like, why would you link these people together? Two people are happy, two people are miserable.
Like, we are so wired differently than others, too, where it's like, they could be the best people in the world. I don't want to sit with you. I don't want to talk to you. If you are annoying, I'm not going to follow up with you a bunch of times, especially if I'm on my honeymoon.
No, I don't want to be bothered.
Right.
I don't want to be bothered. You know what I never see to-go containers. Like, are you not allowed to take food back to your room? I've never seen a to-go.
Well, we kind of talk about it in terms of snacks and stuff too, right? When Gopher was going crazy trying to find those nuts for the monkey.
Well, even the monkey, there was no food in there. The monkey had to go... steal stuff because he was so hungry.
You had to go out.
Well, remember,
that's they don't have the captain's dinner anymore.
Well, that's
maybe that's
for
Borgia
sanitation.
Borgia threw all that stuff out in the ocean. That's been no good since.
No ketchup, no captain's dinner.
So yeah, the dinner is what you think it is. It's
dinner.
The performances are fine, but there's just not a lot there.
No,
but basically we get the gist of it that Max and Glass have been married for a while. These two are newlyweds, but they're already chipping at each other and, you know, so on and so on.
Can you imagine being married for 25 years?
Can you imagine being married for 5 hours and going on a cruise? 25 years is a long time. I mean, you've
that's
been
a
like
long 10, time,
right? Like that's
10 this
that's,
year. Yeah. 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 Oh, I don't mean it like, oh, God forbid, but.
No, I know you're doing a lock horn. You're doing a lock horn spin-off, I know. So.
But I wonder what percentage of this 25 years have they just been bickering? Like, at what point did it turn into this for them? Or is this kind of just like their shtick too?
I think it is because they never, they always kind of circle back to being happy, right? It's just, you know, it's like not every relationship has to be sunshines and rose, you know.
I guess it all works out. It's just the way it is, yeah.
Steubing is introduced to the Sneeds, who are talking up the crew. A lot of compliments from the Sneeds about Steubing's crew.
He's just trying to hustle them now.
So, question, kind of a what do you think here?
Mm.
How would you feel if Colonel Potter was in the Steubing role?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. I think it just changes. It's a completely different character.
It kind of goes to where we talked about with like Wilford Brimley or something like that, like an older, more respected, maybe less involved, but, you know, more dignified, certainly, as a captain.
I think it I don't know. I think it kind of gives that position a little more
gravitas.
Yeah, absolutely. Because Steubing's just a fool. And just in every episode, every episode. And I don't see, I could see there being like a Captain Potter episode where something, he's off or acting squirrely, you know, as part of a,
yeah.
But every episode, Steubing's just something is awry. But that's an interesting point. I'd love to see him on a competing ship as a captain.
Like attacking
somehow the boat. Attacking the boat.
Maybe he's Captain Norton of the Sun Princess.
We never met him.
So Gopher, we find out Gopher took round one of the gin rummy match between him and Wendell. Wendell owes Gopher $1.27. Do you think this was a long con, or do you think this was him learning how to use the mark deck and he didn't do well the first night?
No. He spent a good 10 minutes working on those cards. He can identify three cards, right? Three out of 52.
Deal again. I didn't get a jack or a three.
Yeah. So I don't know how to play gin, but if it's related to getting those three cards correct, he's 100% at that.
I can maybe get upwards of 12 of those cards in a deck.
Maybe by the end of the night. Well, because you know at that point in your life, like say he's in his 50s, or like say 60s, right? That's when information really sticks. Like that's the best time to go take a language. My great grandmother, she's taking Turkish right now. She's killing it. She took French last year, German before that. Every year, she's 87 years old. She takes a different language every year.
Now, maybe it's because my eyes are like a senior citizen, but like all those are the things, you can't see those marks back there. Like that's a very busy card deck.
That's a very busy card deck. Well, yeah, it wasn't like a subtle. Oh, it was just, and he can't see. You know, he can't see because
old.
Another thing. What, does your vision get better when you're in? No. Oh, maybe he had LASIK. It's 1978. Yeah. I don't even. Do they have contact lenses in 1978?
Yeah, but like hard contact lenses.
This guy's not wearing contacts. You know, he's going to have little round glasses.
Not in their $600 house. He's not buying
contacts. No, they can't afford that. He can afford one. That's how he can get those three cards right. Yeah. You can only identify the Jack of Hearts, the Ten of Spades, and the King of Diamonds. That's it. Poor guy. Yeah, no, I think it was the long. That's what they always do.
Do you think that's on the How to Fool Your Friends at Cards card?
Well, now I'm thinking, how many games did he win to win as much as he won? Like if that was a dollars, what did he come in tomorrow night and going, I bet you 12, you know, like
right. What? So does it go does it go back and forth? I guess I also, I have played Jim Rummy. I don't know the wagering pot stuff. Like,
is it just a winner take all kind of thing?
I assume.
I don't know. But this guy doesn't have any money. How's he playing cards if he doesn't have any money? Don't you have to put money up to play? What do you have, a dollar? Get $2?
Well, Mike, it's a friendly little game.
Until he somehow gets a few $100 from this guy and then other people.
Yeah, but it doesn't ever seem to be. It's a one-on-one matchup, too, which is weird, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's the other thing.
Gopher would have had to have gotten taken on a bunch of double or nothings. Like,
why didn't they just have, like, a big game?
Yeah.
And that way it would have been easy to come up with a fight. Like, the money thing baffles. It doesn't work. I've had to I just have to ignore it, though, because I like the story so much.
Sheila and Howard are flirting, and Doc is cock blocking. That's basically where we're at. So
yeah, that's where we're at. Yep.
But I will say this: Doc calls Howard a cruise ship cowboy.
I did see that. Which is great. He's looking to score.
Yeah, but this is where Doc calls Steubing over, and he's like, "Listen, I'm terrible at this. I'm absolutely terrible at this." And Steubing, of course, can't possibly admit that he made a wrong move here. So he just tells him to go get practice because Howard and Sheila are going to town. And of course, you know, Doc gets rid of him, and that's it. That really ends up being all of these interactions.
Yeah, it's real simple. Everyone's the same. It's just a different setting.
Right. They're fine. They don't it's linger.
Fine. It's fine.
They're pretty much the same. Okay, this is where I get confused about Doc's intentions. We open up Act Two out on the deck, and him and Sheila are looking at the moonlight, which obviously is dicey when you're with Doc. So do you think that Doc is actually making a move here at any point?
Absolutely.
Or do you think he's doing the thing where he, like, I'm going to swing my arms, and if you run into me, I didn't hit you? Like,
oh, no, absolutely. Absolutely. He's just setting it up.
It's not going well, though.
Not going well.
And I don't know if it's not going well because it's Doc and Sheila's interested in Doc, or it's because she's the chaperone and she's mad about the chaperone, or she's really got Howard goggles, but she's given Doc like nothing. He's trying all his moves and it's not going well.
Good for her. Shoot him down.
But who's the smartest man on this boat this week? It's Howard Wilson.
Howard's smart man.
He is already kind of hiding in the plumber poet spot, checking this
out.
He's
very smart. A lot of lurking.
And he sees Julie and he's like, hang on, this doctor is in my way. Let's get rid of this doctor.
Smart.
Does he murder the doctor? No.
No, of course not. Was he gonna? No.
He heads over to Julie and he's like, hey, Julia, my tummy hurts. Not the food you ate here. Compliments to the boat.
Yeah, the boat's good.
I was wondering if you could, you know, can I see the doctor? Julie's absolutely. What's your room number? And Howard gives them a room number.
Yeah, anything.
I'm sure it's his. And then Doc goes. As soon as Doc leaves, Howard jumps in and he's making time with Sheila.
Like a vulture.
But brilliant. That is a Doc. Doc would respect that.
You know,
in a way, I kind of wanted Doc to give him one of these, right? But I don't think he ever put it together.
Two-finger salute or a one-finger salute? That looked like a one-finger salute.
What's a doctor salute?
Like they touches his heart, maybe? His lungs? And then he touches all his major organs. He goes brain, heart, lungs, kidney, liver.
I feel like the actual Adam Bricker salute is filthy.
Oh, yeah, we can't even say it here. I don't want to get canceled.
This sets up, honest to God, one of the best scenes we've had this year. Mm-hmm. Absolutely hysterical. So Doc goes to the room that Julie tells him to go to, and he knocks on the door. And after about a minute, this guy answers. And it's just a guy in a beard.
Some dude.
Doc's like, I'm here to check on you or whatever. He walks in. There's a naked girl with a towel over her, or the bed sheets, I guess. And Doc's like, can I help? And the guy's like, no, I appear to be doing just great. So
that's funny. Clearly
the room is wrong. Doc has walked in on what he probably was hoping was a threesome. He has been shunted out of this. So
it's this funny.
Is, again, to my point, Doc is on a bit of a dry spell unless he hooked up with Patty Duke. So this is probably like really grinding his gears.
Well, I think too that that couple that he interrupted, they are a prime candidate to share pajamas at some point of the cruise. Just saying.
They absolutely.
Easily. They only brought one pair.
Absolutely. I mean,
good for them.
I'd watch those guys should have been a storyline. They were there for all the right reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not at dinner.
We don't really have, we've had, what was that horny couple that was like making out and wasn't paying attention? There was like them, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But like very rarely have we had people who are just there for one reason with each other.
Like, well, Kathy Bates was, but you know, hilarity ensued.
That's true.
Newlyweds, sorry, Kathy Bates. Poor guys.
Speaking of the newlyweds, they're ready for their first night of wedded bliss.
So weird.
And Ellen comes out in like 15 layers of clothes. Like, I know it's 1978, but you can't tell
me. She was layered up, man.
You couldn't get me a better nightgown on TV at 9 o'clock on a Saturday.
Yeah. Who's wearing hose to dinner or to bed, rather? So weird.
She was.
They love like, some. They have some hose in the 70s. It's crazy.
Like Fabulous Moolah. Like,
what is going on here? What do you? What do you? Yeah, it's almost, it's very Macho Man. There's all this layers and
yes.
Oh.
And then like they get in bed. Yurik's really excited about going to bed and getting some sleep. And then he wants to play shuffleboard.
Well, how many hours have they been married at this point? They've been married for what? 10 hours?
If that
realistically
along with dinner,
not even 12 hours. Yeah. Seven. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. They're, this is the first night they're, I mean, I don't think they've saved themselves for marriage. It's just my assumption in the late 70s, but whatever. It's their first night. Yurik is ready for shuffleboard and for bed. Diana Canova seems like she's a little more into it, but then she immediately gets distracted by the other couple. And they're arguing. And this, of course, leads to bickering about bickering, which is just the absolute worst way to spend your wedding night. But it's like, that was a weird...
Yeah,
I know what they were getting at, but that was a weird way to get there.
I will say, if we're saying that this is their honeymoon, right? This
it definitely is. It definitely is.
And it's funny because I don't know if you remember this. The first night of my honeymoon in Jamaica, Mrs. Taylor was asleep. And I was texting you from Jamaica because I was watching Monday Night Raw on the satellite TV, and I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. So, but
you got married on a Saturday.
Right.
Not a Monday.
Right. Exactly. A little bit different, but.
You might have gotten married on a Friday.
I did get married on a Friday, actually.
Even
you know what? So. Makes sense. We're not talking Friday night. We're not talking
this
Saturday.
Day three. Sunday, they'd be Monday. Watching. Oh. They'd be,
you know,
watching
what?
Georgia they'd, Championship Wrestling.
They lucky them. Woo. All right.
But yeah, it doesn't go well. I will say it was funny because the crux of this argument is that Max wanted to go to Rome. That was one of the things they overheard. And Yurik is trying to stick up for, you know, it's not, I didn't necessarily want to go on this thing. And he gives his list of things, but he was fine with wherever she went. That starts a whole argument. But it ends with him telling her to recite the Gettysburg Address and then pointing out that she can't remember that. And that was important. And then turning over and going to sleep. So he's not even trying to make up.
No.
And she says, I can't believe I married a crazy person.
Which I respect him for not trying to make up. Let me just keep it real for a second. I can't do that. But Godspeed, sir, for doing that.
That's why they definitely had not waited for their wedding night.
No.
They woke up in the same bed that morning.
We know what they did for those 5 hours. I'm just saying, if there was no reception, that this might have been a JOP because they weren't dressed like they just came from a wedding or a wedding reception.
Yep. So now that I think about it. Okay. Because we smash cut to the gin table now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I guess that makes sense that Wendell probably lost his money to go for early in the day, pre-dinner, and then went back for the kill after dinner.
I mean, I go back to what we talked about. How the heck is Gopher in debt for $321.
Yeah.
When they play before for a day, it just doesn't. And yeah, this guy Gopher, doesn't have any money. Like, yeah, don't you?
Gopher, like, the scene opens and he is just like just crestfallen. It's like the end of Rounders. Like, he is just beaten. And yeah, he got taken for $321, which, if we go on the exponential math of the $1.27, would be they played about 297 hands and he lost them all. So.
Yeah, but don't shame on
how we got there.
Shame on Gopher. Like, what, you couldn't stop? If you don't have the money, which he clearly didn't, because he took all of the money that out of that fund.
Yeah.
You don't have any money either, and you're playing this for how many hands? 297 hands? Like, you couldn't get out after 15 when we broke even. I got to go to work.
Or is it literally like one big hand?
One hand.
Because, like,
you know what it was? Hand. He saw those three cards and he was like, $321. His eyes lit up. Gin.
But Gin is not, maybe I'm just misremembering, but Gin, I don't think Gin is like a bid up game.
And then you just put down like four of a kind. And like,
yeah. It's
and when like, you go out, they, you I mean, say, they show, gin.
It, they show it pretty detailed and late.
Yeah. I don't know what. I don't really know how you bet on that unless you're like.
I forgot to put my gambling hat on for this scene. So,
fair enough.
So Gopher's like, I think Gopher's right there to break his legs. So he said he doesn't have that kind of money in his checking account. And Wendell's like, fuck your check account, dude. Yeah. That's clean paper. So, and he gives him till noon the next day, which is just,
yeah, what's he going to do? Okay. What's Colonel Potter going to do? Hey, I want my 321. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You thing. Like nobody, there's nobody involved in this is good at scamming or anything.
No.
That's why the only reason this got caught is because of Doc. Everybody else is just like, okay. But you're right. What's he going to do?
It's just dumb. It's just like, wait.
I guess the only thing he could have done was complain to the captain, but that wasn't even like a threat.
Imagine Gopher got all worried, just threw him overboard. Middle of the night,
man.
Kill the old man.
Ida shows up, tells Gopher to pay the $5. Ha ha ha. So they can go to bed. And Gopher leaves, tail between his legs.
No kidding.
Ugh. The fresh meat shows up.
Here's Isaac. Boy, this guy.
So what is this room? Is this a room we've seen before? That has a little bar?
It looks like that room where Tall Steubing was trying to serve that scotch. So
it's like
to that
the
guy.
Front. It's like the I think front it's, of that one room.
Yeah,
like when you walk
like
in,
off. Yeah, like I don't think it's off the dining room. I think it's off right. That side. Yeah,
you're right.
Because I would imagine people would go in there to get drinks for the pool and things like that too.
You're right. Yep. That works. Isaac shows up and he's like, you know, hey Wendell, let's just eat all that stuff. And he's like, can I get you a drink? Nightcap. Love it. Love a nightcap. Respect for Isaac there, giving the old man a nightcap. And he asks him, what's his drink? And he says, gin.
He didn't even like it. He was just baiting him.
Right. Well, it's not just that, but it's like, you know, it's disconvenient. I guess he could have said
wild turkey. Wild turkey. You want to play gin? And just like, you know.
Metamucil.
Metamucil. Something to help me sleep. Right.
So hot milk, Isaac,
buttermilk.
So we are led to believe that Isaac joins Wendell for a drink and a quick game of cards, and I'm sure it will go perfectly fine.
So. Yeah, how did that go from like? Wouldn't that be a nice friend? Like this dude's, I don't know. It's interesting. Like you said, I can't get past the like. Gin doesn't seem like a sharky sort of game to play where you're gonna.
Well, certainly
you
not.
Know, poker in, makes sense, but
not well, with I guess I two almost, people. I guess. Maybe we're being like rubes here and there maybe is a betting to it that we're not following, but I almost would have thought it would have been like $10 a game or something like that, right? Like an even number.
But that's just not, it. If it was something like that, why the hell didn't Gopher stop?
Right.
At 200.
At any of it. Well, again, I think it's the number. Hey, listen, if people could stop, gambling wouldn't be popular.
Yeah, I guess you make a good point.
Neither would those fool your friends gimmick decks.
That's right. Just enabling him.
Max and Gladys are out on the deck bickering. Just, I think that's the scene when the hot ladies walk by, but not a lot to that.
No, not much.
So this is the next morning, because Isaac's looking for Gopher desperately and kind of is haranguing Julie to find Gopher. I think we can pretty much figure out why, but they don't say it here yet.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs off, and then Julie walks up to old Mr. Sneed and asks if he wants to play Crazy Eights or something like that. And he's like, nope, gin. So,
yep, here we go again. Victim number three.
And of course, Julie's going to fall victim to his charm because, you know, he's a charming older man and he's above 30. So
she didn't even know how to play cards. She doesn't know. She was going to say yes to anything.
Yeah, she didn't say how she lost the money.
Yeah.
Scott and Ellen have made up from the night before, apparently.
Thank goodness.
But then they roll right into Max and Gladys. And again, here we go. Just more bickering.
About Aspen. Yeah, here we go. Just, it gets contagious.
They should have thought about Robert Urich wearing that tied white sweater over his neck.
I mean, it's pretty classy, I got to tell you. I didn't see a tennis court.
Such a stupid look. It's 89 degrees on that boat. People are swimming back there, you know?
Are you saying it's never a good look? Or it's this specific occasion that's not a good look? I am saying
that look connotates one thing. Like yuppie, preppy, prestige, entitlement, money.
That's but what else are you supposed to do? Like, it's very boaty, right? Or nautical.
You know what? Put it over your shoulder. Just in a heap over your shoulder. Go Joey Lawrence. Tie it up to your waist.
Oh, so you're tied around the waist is better than tied around the shoulder.
Yes. Oh, yes. Fair enough. Absolutely. Fair enough. Absolutely. Okay. But that said, I would just wrap it and put it over my shoulder.
Yeah, I would do the same. I don't think I would. I think at some point I would drape it, but I wouldn't intentionally.
No, exactly. It's too early for Joey Lawrence. So we have to tie the sweater. It's a look. I'm not pretending it's not a look, but it's just like you have taken the time to tie this thing around your neck.
Yeah,
you're not going out off into the lands, right?
No.
38 feet from your cabin.
You know the temperature.
Chilling. Right.
Like let me ask you something. It's hot. You're swimming. Let me ask you. You said Joey Lawrence. Do we get a young Joey Lawrence on the show before it's over? I'm trying to think
when he would have been on Give Me a Break.
Give Me a Break was pretty early age.
I'm gonna go. It'll be late. It'll be late season. Like we might not get Joey Lawrence on the same boat as Julie.
Right.
But I think we'll get. I think so. I think the thing we have to start calibrating to is that last season is pretty limited episodes. And so we really have to probably think anybody past 84 or 5, we're kind of on limited things. So
yeah,
it's going to be tight. It's going to be tight.
Interesting.
I guess the only thing we don't really know is Joey Lawrence like a thing before Give Me a Break, which is possible.
Child star, who knows?
Or he could have just been booked as a kid. Like maybe he doesn't get a portal, but he's just on.
Maybe somebody's child,
right?
With that bowl cut, yeah.
Oh yeah, maybe him and Julie go with the same haircut.
Poor Julie.
Henry Kissinger gets a shout out.
I don't remember the context of that. What was the
when I think Max was trying to make the peace with everybody.
Oh, I see. Oh, how he's making the best of the honeymoon cruise, the whole thing. But he'd rather be skiing in Aspen. He couldn't help himself.
Yep. But ultimately, this scene kind of, the bump on it is that Gladys and Max have a very nice conversation. And they're like, yeah, we fight all the time. But you know what? We're spending time together. And that's good. I think Max is a pragmatist.
I think so.
I enjoy spending time with you more than anyone else. That doesn't mean I enjoy spending time with you all the time, but I enjoy spending the most time with you. And I think that's a good way to look at marriage sometimes, probably. So
it's just not interesting.
Not me either.
But like Max is just super aware, which is kind of nice. He's like, yeah, I know. We give each other crap, but that's just just what we do.
He's not going anywhere. He's not running off somewhere.
No.
And you know what? Some people like the fighting. A little sparring. Never hurt anybody.
Some people do like the fighting. Yeah. I do agree.
I mean, I was a lot younger when I used to like the fighting. I don't think I was Max's age when I, you know, but.
Terrible fighter. Ugh, terrible at it. Yeah.
Henry and Sheila are now sneaking around Doc in the pool. That kind of ends quickly. I think Doc calls him Flipper to toss him out of the pool.
Yeah, it wasn't a. It's interesting. It's a very Romeo and Juliet, like forbidden kind of thing. Yeah. And Howard does it. I think the Howard character is great. So likable. It's great. I'm rooting for him.
And I do like both of them are pretty quick thinkers too, right? Because it's like the swimming thing doesn't work. So then they kind of give each other the shoulder and the nod, and Doc gets sent over to get a drink.
Like
and
a then, rube again. He gets sent away again.
Right. Yeah. And Doc, I don't think Doc cares about this, right?
No.
Like, I think Doc, as we prove later in the episode, is pretty sharp on the uptake with things. I just don't think he cares. He probably only cares enough to keep stooping off his back. That's probably.
Yeah, I get that.
But these two kids, did you see where they snuck?
Yeah, in the shower. The pool shower. She just busted right in.
At first, I thought it was the sauna, but we know that's broken.
Yeah, we know that's broken. It's been broken.
They never fixed the sauna.
They never fixed it, ever.
So they were in there, and I will say this. Henry seems like a pretty smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
He should have memorized a few of these lines. Carrying the book around is dicey around just water.
Get a couple on deck.
Or rip out a page. But it just seemed like he wanted to get caught.
Poor guy.
He did. And that's how we wrap Act 2. So Act 3 starts, and I will say this, for the most part, we're kind of just in a loop now.
Yep.
Robert Urich comes out with a bird statue, duck, turkey. I don't know what that actually was.
It was a turkey pinata.
Oh, it was a pinata.
Yeah, because I don't know why you get a turkey one, but
like, you that's what you got. Or from the gift shop.
Yeah, I wrote it down. I'm like, wow, that's weird. That's a turkey pinata. Odd.
Oh, that'd be a fun gift.
Is that the national bird of any? What's the national bird of Mexico?
Mazatlan's land of deer.
The Mazatlan land of deer. What's his Cabo? Woo! You know, I don't know. That's the name of that bird.
Are you cracking open the pinata on the boat?
Something.
That seems like a dangerous thing.
Right. You don't even know what.
Just getting the sea pull.
Just little shots of tequila in there. It's just an awful idea. They got it at Senior Frogs.
Anyway, he brings it out as an apology or a peace offering, and it just, I mean, blows up immediately. Also, I thought it was weird that first shot when he comes out, he sees her and Ellen is like facing out, so it's just the back. And they lingered on that for a while to the point where I thought it was going to be somebody else. But it wasn't. It was her.
Yeah, it was her. It was her.
So they're bickering, and then Gladys shows up and tries to make things better with some wise words. But then Max shows up to shut that down.
Max shuts it down.
So basically, they're all just kind of rumbling.
It's just one and then another. And then this one sees it. And then that one. It's just they're circling at this point. Somebody's always storming off.
Right. And I don't think any of this is really a fight, but it's like they got nothing to do. So
no, they got nothing to do.
Or maybe they're all drunk.
Yeah, maybe at first drunk. I was like, well, maybe that would make it them get along better, but
it just makes you like offended. It depends on how many drinks you've had. Like I know people who get really offended when they've been drinking. I did think it was interesting just based on what we've kind of seen about how long all these things take.
Yeah.
Gladys left Max, and then Max indicated that he had been at the skeet shooting in between. So he must have just walked by, fired off a couple shots, and rolled over.
Boom,
there.
Boom. He didn't even break stride. Here, toss me that rifle, partner.
He just had a pistol in his
You know, he's probably like a veteran of some sorts, like that guy. I just need to blow off some steam. Kapow, yeah. Kapow. Here you go. Here you go, man, sport.
We're like, we're skeet crazy these days.
We love skeet on this boat. We love it.
Gopher's in his room counting the money. So he doesn't get his legs broken by this old man. So.
I love his, yeah, he's so Gopher's. Yeah, here's a knock and he, his great hiding spot for the money is just laughable.
Yeah. Isaac shows up. He, you know, he needs money, but Gopher needs money. And then Julie calls and Julie needs money. So the official losses were Gopher lost $321. Isaac lost $149. Julie lost $67.
That checks
a lot
out.
Of money. It's a lot
it
of money
is a lot of money.
For 1978. I meant to do the inflation, but that's a lot of money. And
what
the fact
think?
That Gopher didn't have it in his checking account to cover it, you've bet outside your means, Mr. Smith.
He didn't take any of his own money to pay for it. They just took the other. Does no one have any money? And if no one has any money, what are you betting? Well, Julie didn't
well,
care.
I think
Julie
they're
lost
both,
on
I
purpose.
Think they're like betting $1.27. I think these are like
273
penny
times.
And friggin' Wendell Sneed shows up and it's just like all
get
in.
Comfortable. We're going to play for 16 hours. You can't get up. Ugh.
I am one passenger. Concierge me.
Yeah. Never leave my side.
You know, we only kind of looked up the purser thing once, but wasn't part of it that they were like involved in the, I mean, we know he has the keys to the safety deposit boxes.
You probably shouldn't if he's this loosey goosey.
He's just rifling through people's boxes.
I bet you this necklace.
Would you like this $1.6 million bauble?
Now I'm hoping Gopher develops a terrible like gambling addiction now that he with access to the safe. A new set of rubes every week. He's going to be like, can we get a pool table?
You know what I want to see next week? I want to see an emergency and they go to open that box and it's empty.
We need exactly $641.
Oh, no.
How much is in the box? $641.
This talent show also pays $641.
Like, if we don't have it, the boat's going to sink. And they open it.
Dust. Yeah.
Awful. Awful.
It's just a picture of Harry Morgan.
Laughing, one of those ultralight hang gliders watching the ship.
Why don't we have a house?
I'm not even married to Ida.
It's Ida flying a plane.
It's all nonsense.
Thank God Doc shows up and he's like, no, you idiots. So Doc immediately spotted that it's a marked deck.
It's not that he knew it was a mark deck. It's how he knew it was a mark deck, like the circumstances, which made me laugh at it. It was one of his ex-wives was a card dealer in Vegas. And for some unknown reason, she taught him how to spot a mark deck from a mile away.
Yep.
How would that, if you're a card dealer in Vegas, why is that even an issue with marked cards? It's not somebody's not dealing me. You're the dealer. Yeah, is this a BYOC? That doesn't even make any sense.
Well, that's
why would
also
you spot a thing? She's the dealer.
That's another thing about this plot, right? Is it really does depend on him being able to use his cards
right
exclusively. Which
right.
I understand, like the way Julie came upon it was fine. Even the way Isaac came upon it was fine, but that could have very easily not happened.
Like, it could have very easily not happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing how much money he made after spending literally 10 minutes learning how to read these marked cards.
Yeah, he really should have put some real time into it. He could have made some serious money.
Right? He should have.
So let me put on
the gambling hat.
So the crew is out for revenge.
It's the best kind of gambling.
So Julie wants no part of this because I don't know. Julie's probably got money. I think
Julie's got money. It's $67, Julie.
Yeah. But their scam is that Gopher is going to go at noon ostensibly to give Wendell his money, but also appeal to his better nature in terms of trying to win it back. Meanwhile, Doc is going to be outside the cabin window, which, again, we have seen a cabin window like twice. So he's got one of the fancy rooms, which, again, maybe don't buy the boom boom room if you're trying to save money.
Exactly.
So that's it. But whatever. So Doc is going to sit outside the window with binoculars over Wendell's shoulder.
It's the dumbest plan ever. With these giant binoculars. What do you need? He's right there. What do you need binoculars for? He's 5 feet in front of you. Like, so stupid.
But then Doc is going to walkie-talkie the details to Isaac, who is then going to make an announcement on the PA system that somehow tips off Gopher. Now, wouldn't it have been easier to have like a board and he could just hold it up with what the guy's got? Like he could have whatever a whiteboard was in 1978. Like, wouldn't that have been easier to signal to Gopher?
And even if he just used a new piece of paper each time and then threw it in the water, who cares with the whole burp, burp. It was just ridiculous. It was
so
ridiculous.
Gopher is.
Oh, wait a minute. Why did he have to be behind him? If Doc said he can spot a marked deck, right? Then read the deck. Why didn't Doc just play him?
Well, I don't know that Doc can. I mean, I assume marked decks are marked different. I don't think it's the same mark every time, right? Like,
I don't know.
I don't have. How to
oh, so you're saying he can spot the deck.
That is the mark.
Read
deck,
the cards.
How himself. It's marked.
Fair enough. I mean, after all, he is a doctor. He doesn't have time for this.
The other, I mean, there's a million flaws with this plan, right?
Plans are never good in this. Yeah.
And I know this ends up being because, you know, Wendell's just a good guy, right? And all this stuff. But like, dude. Sorry, Gopher. I don't want to take any more money. That was actually legitimate. And if Gopher begs, he's like, no, sorry, son. This is for your own good. Like, end of it. Force them to accuse you, old man, of cheating. And then
that's right. If you're up that much, why would he even bother?
Deck in the trash, man. So
he'd be like, give me the money. Just give me the money. That's what if I'm Wendell, I'm like, just give me the money. What are you talking about? Play me again.
Starts beating them up.
Like, just beating the crap. They all do. Julie's kicking him. Doc's kicking him. Isaac comes out of nowhere, dropping elbows. Be like, I just the least of your concerns right now, Wendell.
So basically, it's a lot of like Isaac saying cumbersome on the announcement, like clubs and kings and fours and all gin, and it's like all the terms or whatever. And the problem with doing this system is you're going over the PA and everyone can hear it, including the hungriest man in town, Meryl Stubing, who is very excited about the chicken a la king, which is being served in the dining room, which of course is not being served in the dining room, but Wendell had a king and that was how they had to
announce. I'll see, so that initial announcement, I watched it like 5 times because I don't know why it made me giggle. So the first announcement, I won't bother with any of the other ones. It's so lunch is now being served in the Coral Dining Room. Our special today is the number 4 club sandwich. We also recommend our chicken a la king. Our chefs really put their hearts into this one.
Yeah. So that worked.
That worked.
My favorite one, I didn't write it down. My favorite one was the last one where clearly Isaac had given up and he was just talking about some movie and he was just trying to jam like Queen, Spade, 9. Like it was like.
It's, yeah. Oh, there'll be a full dress party. Ladies, bring your diamonds. So discard. Yeah. It was just. Yes. Yeah. And stupid.
How about a mirror?
Again, stupid Stubing.
How about a mirror? You're a doctor. Just get a mirror.
It's so dumb.
So Stubing, who is really just hungry, is paying more and more attention to these announcements as he's talking to Julie in the hallway. Isaac at one point says gin, that his martinis are basically all gin, which, again, if that is something that Stubing should be concerned about, because, like, you don't want that on your ship. Just
no. No.
Remember my wedding when they accidentally were giving out just bourbon at the beginning?
I was one of those people. I got a coffee and I got a glass of bourbon. Yeah, I was so, like, all right, this is unexpected. I didn't think I would get a glass of bourbon.
There is no shock. You know what, Scott and Ellen, you want to have a real harrowing first day as being a married couple? I had to go up to the wedding planner and tell her that we had to take all of the mason jars off the table because people were using them to fill it up with pure bourbon. And if it hadn't been my wedding, I would have been first in line. But here I am.
Guilty as charged. It was a line of us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God, it was so
shocking
funny.
That wedding ended the way it did. So the martini thing kind of stops Steuben from getting in the elevator. And he's on the hunt. Julie tries to chase him down, but it,
Julie even can Steuben, never stop him.
Even Steuben was able to bust up this plan. So.
Yeah, he.
So.
It's a rough one.
But Doc is busy, right? Doc is occupied, which means Sheila can go
chase down
Howard. This is great. Nice little synergy.
Rendezvous.
There.
I like it. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, this is not a gambling scene.
It's not a gamble. Well,
I don't have a how to hit on ladies hat. So
secret rendezvous hat. Yeah, I don't have I gotta tell you, Sheila's ballsy, man. Like
what?
In a good, she just is
aggressive. Yeah, she knows.
Aggressive, you know.
She didn't need a chaperone. I think that's really the point.
No,
right?
No.
No 30-year-old like, does, but
she got in the pool shower thing. She went to this dude's room. I don't mean that in a negative way at all. It was just
she obviously
really liked Howard, and you know, yeah.
Would this have been more interesting if you take the Doc creeping part out of it, right?
I think so.
Would this have been more interesting if it was like a version of the Scott Baio Christy McNichol thing where they were younger kids?
I think the Doc thing essentially is just a means of interruption. So like they could have taken Doc out of it. I don't know. You know, they're talking in the pool and he falls and almost drowns or something. I'm just spitballing here. Yeah. I'm just spitballing. He goes to, you know, do some skeet shooting. Well, we're not even going to finish that one, but I'm saying like, there could be these like unfortunate things that always happen when he tries to like flirt with her. So it could have been anything, but the Doc thing, you know, I think it was
Yeah. And plus you have to obviously put up some barriers or else it's just a quick 3 minute.
And Doc needed something to do.
Doc ended up having a lot to do though.
He did. He was a mastermind of that, caper
of the reverse heist. So.
That's right. It's like Ocean's 11.
Sheila's come from some business and there's a little bet action, but again, Howard is still literally, you know,
damn book.
It's a theater term, Mike. Off book. You gotta be off book, Howard.
Put the book down, Howard, or at least take a page out.
You're not doing anything else on this trip except the few times you're hooking up with Sheila.
Yeah, you can't memorize one line.
Come on. I know what those big glasses mean.
And just repeat it.
You're a smart guy, Howard. Shockingly, then when they're canoodling on the bed, the book gets knocked out. Sheila finds it and is aghast.
None too happy. She hit him in the head with it, though, which made me laugh.
She's like, how to hit on girls, how to hit on boys. And then she beats the hell out of him with that book. So,
I did think it was weird that she said boys.
Yeah.
Because it made it, I'm like, what the boys? But I like that she hit him in the head. That made me giggle.
I like on TV when you've been wronged in a comical way, you can really just whip the character.
Sure.
Just barrels him up with that book.
It'd be funny if Howard pressed charges next time he sees her, like there's a warrant for her arrest.
He's just dead.
That's my drop dead point, Sheila. I'm a pacifist. You're going to jail.
Act four.
Here we go. The big act
with
boom.
The officer of the watch announcing that you can see a large school of dolphins on the side.
Yeah.
What the hell is the officer of the watch?
I have no idea.
This is Game of Thrones.
I think it's like, remember that in the intro where Steubing is not steering anything again, but he's just kind of like that with a thing. Well, that there's got to be. What's that?
That shows up again this week. Him steering the
joystick thing, but this time he's not touching the joystick. Now he's just like looking concerned and talking like a radio, but he's not saying anything. There's no two-finger salute. There's no
wheel. That's what he's walkie-talking in. There's no wheel here.
There's no wheel here. How am I supposed to steer? How do nothing? Nothing. The guy does nothing. I think, well, let me ask you, I know that, you know, boats, you know, where there's ice, there's a guy up, you know, who's like watches for ice. But if you had somebody on a boat in, I don't know, the Pacific Ocean where there's no ice, what do you look, is that what your role is to go, oh, look, there's some flying fish at 7 o'clock. Like, who cares? Like, what are you? Yeah. Oh, there's an octopus on your starboard side. Like, what are you doing, man? Aren't there enough activities so people are going to run to the side of the boat? Ooh, adult. Nobody's doing that. Like, what are you doing?
The officer of the watch has an amazing voice. Second of all, that's his only job is to point things out.
It was just because the guy from NASH was on it. Didn't even make sense. It was a form of like radars announcements. That's all it was. They don't school of dolphins. Like, keep it to yourself. What are you talking about? We're in the ocean. It's full of fish. No, yeah. No kidding. Oh, dear, we're going to see a fish. Yeah, no kidding.
Water.
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh, look at this. Ooh, I see him. Ooh. It was jellyfish.
It was just jarring because the scene opens with this amazing voice and this position I've never heard of.
Like, what is who? What?
We're never getting the officer of the watch again.
No, no. What's your name?
What's your name, officer of the watch? Yeah,
officer. Maybe it's that other captain. Whelan, Captain Whelan.
Oh, the
deputy
computer.
Captain. Yeah. I don't think that's a computer voice. I mean,
but I'm always happy to add like more jobs to this boat, but absolutely. Officer of the watch seems unnecessary.
I'm not even, I didn't even write it down as adding like, no. I think that's more of a, you know, in the military, we would have to pull fire watch. And I think it's one of those things like you are on duty, you're on fire watch or fire guard or whatever it was. So maybe it's something like that.
Maybe he's really good at like Dungeons and Dragons or something.
And spotting dolphins. He's the best at spotting dolphins.
That dolphin's got a bunch of ketchup bottles in its mouth.
What's he doing? Apparently, they've mutated. They like to have a little ketchup on their mackerel. They're tapping the 57. Tip, 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 tip with their fins.
All right. Pack a lunch. We got to get into this. We got to get into this whole thing here. So,
yeah. How did this happen? Yeah.
So Steubing has caught the crew members trying to scam Mr. Sneed.
Busted.
So it's Julie and Doc and Gopher and Steubing rolling into Mr. Sneed's room. And they try to defend themselves because they've been ripped off. Steubing with a pretty good captainly line, I thought. If he was a nudist, would you be running around nude? I thought that was pretty good. And then the door opens and nothing that happens in the scene makes sense. At all.
No.
So Gopher is like, Captain Steubing! And so Steubing comes in and tells Wendell that his crew has cheated him.
Mm-hmm.
And that they will be dealt with.
How will they be dealt with?
They'll be dismissed.
Do you mean fired?
So Steubing doesn't know what any of the response is going to be. So he was legitimately, at first I thought he was smoking him out, right?
That's what I thought initially.
And I'm not going to give him that credit.
No, he's not smart enough.
No, I think he was going to fire all his crew
on the spot.
Right, on the spot.
All of them. Was he going to fire Isaac too? Yeah, he was going to fire him too. Everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
Just so what happens?
Even his best man. A little quick on the draw there, Stoops.
Fire everybody. Like, what?
Yeah. Meanwhile, we only have a 5-person crew. It's just, who's pouring those drinks? The officer, the watch.
Yeah. What if someone hurts their knee and needs a wheelchair?
Nope.
Or a bulky sling?
It's Vince.
Vincent.
So Wendell admits.
Yeah, it comes clean.
Also was cheating in a way to kind of like get the crew out of trouble.
He should have done it anyway.
And then I really get confused because he doesn't want to get fired. He admits that they cheated. Gopher says they got all their money back. So they got all their money back by playing him straight up? Is that what happened? Or they were cheating. So basically, the money breaks.
They were cheating. Right? It was the same thing. Did you broke it? Well, no, because Gopher still owes him $1.27 from the first night. But yeah, what are we doing?
Wow.
And again, I love the episode, but it's just like they're just adding time. The story's over.
And then Wendell goes. Wendell just goes into a complete sob story about his wife and how he cheated and how he can't do anything. God. He just starts crying. And everybody's like, all right, well, we're even, so. But what was, at one point, Stubing says, well, we consider this matter closed.
He walks away.
So what was he going to do? Like, toss him off the boat?
It all worked out in the end. The money canceled each other. No,
I guess
it's just like it's just a big eraser. He's just like, okay, the matter's closed.
Yeah, it was.
That's it.
It was unusual. It was just like I didn't quite understand the ending.
Let me just say, captains or anybody in charge has no business being the guy to bust one of these, you know, gin rummy things. You have nothing better to do than go. That announcement's odd. Let me go directly to Gopher's room, and luckily that's where this illicit gin rummy game is going on. Really? That's where you go first. Because you heard Isaac's voice. You didn't go to the bar to talk to Isaac? You went to, you know what? I'm just gonna accept it. Just ridiculous.
Doc, not fired.
Not fired.
After being cleared of the whole charges.
Goodness. You're fired. You're not. Everything's back to normal. Yeah.
He's back chaperoning, and Howard is just talking to himself in a corner.
He's ramping himself up
to make an apology.
Yeah.
I thought this was a pretty good scene. Now, everything starts shotgunning in the
things
in
are
the
going quickly hall. Now.
There's a lot going on here. So the two married men are at the bar, and Max and Scott. They don't particularly like each other. Like I did respect the fact that it was like, just because they're fighting with their wives, I don't think Max or Scott were fans of each other.
No, I don't think so either. I agree with that statement. Yeah, no, they weren't. That's the only thing they had in common.
Smash cut. The Snead grandchildren have arrived. Great. And they're calling in that favor for Joy to give the tour. The parents never speak.
Not a word. Not a word, because they don't have anything to say because they're embarrassed that they couldn't go visit their.
Yep.
This doesn't make sense. Okay.
And Wendell is still sad.
Of course he is.
But Gopher looks at his sadness. Smash cut. Stubing catches Howard talking to himself and starts to investigate it. To your point, he's got all sorts of time to just check out this weirdo and look at an empty room for like a minute and a half.
He's more of a constable than he is a captain. Constable Stubing.
He's like a constable in one of those old like role playing computer games. He's like, he just kind of dodders around from scene to scene.
He would be a great, like, one of those old McDonald's characters. Like, if he worked for the cop, but he wore, like, plain clothes as a constable.
The human friend of the Mayor, not Mayor McCheese, but the other one.
The cop, yeah.
Constable Burger or whatever.
Constable Burger. Constable Double Cheeseburger, whatever his name is. Yeah, that guy.
I don't know what his name was. It was not Constable Burger, but it should have been.
Sheriff? Was he a sheriff? Sheriff Double Cheeseburger? I know there's Mayor McCheese. There's the Fry Guys. Grimace.
I know the constable because at the playground, you could go in his head.
Yeah, because he had the hat. But what's his name?
I don't know what his name Jesus was. That's very annoying. this is the most important part of this episode.
Suddenly,
I really McDonald's hope it's character. Constable Burger. Okay.
Officer Big Mac was the name.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That's a terrible name.
Officer Big Mac. Yeah.
Introduced in watching, you can have Constable Burger for free.
Yeah. Introduced in 71 and dropped in 85.
Oh, wow.
By Officer Big Mac.
He was a great, he was a great playground toy or ride.
I like how there's zero thought into that name. That's wonderful. Officer Big Mac. That's so dumb.
Officer Big Mac is the marketing equivalent of mortgaging your house for the Love Boat cruise.
It's just dumb. And then, yeah. Then acting like you're a kingpin after you win 316 bucks. I bet you he wishes he had broken Gopher's legs at this point.
I'd be
$400.
Not answer the door. Yeah. Or just not played him again.
That's it.
Like, walk away.
I would give you
whatever his name is. Wendell.
Wendell. Yeah. All right.
Back at the bar, Isaac tries to give advice to the husbands, and they're both like, nah.
Yeah, it's all right, dude. It's all right.
Which makes sense because Robert Urich has been on this boat twice and has had three ladies. And this other guy has been married for 25 years. He's had as many ladies as Isaac.
Yeah, Isaac, just relax there, buddy. You're not.
Max says, you got to keep women under your thumb. Marriages may be made in heaven, but they live in Pittsburgh. Ooh. Long story short, every couple learns a little bit from each other and a lot about love.
There you go. I mean, even Gladys gave Max a kiss.
Yeah.
Because she knows that he knows that that's the basis. It's like fundamentals.
I was told love means never having to say you're sorry.
That's a bunch of nonsense right there. Never. I would love to be able to do that, to be like accidentally knocked over her drink and just
never clean that up.
Never say you're sorry. Like literally.
That was the tagline from Love Story. Love means never having to say you're sorry. Now, if you spill a drink on someone, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and I'll just be like, comically closed mouth. Just
Love Boat Season 1, Episode 20 taught me I never have to say I'm sorry.
That's right. And we also learned about Officer Big Mac.
Everybody's apologizing, though. Howard apologizes. And he manages to get Sheila to forgive him. And now they're getting engaged because, you know. Because
that's what you do. You meet people, and 3 days later, you're engaged. Jeez. Her dad is going to be pissed.
Oh, Herb?
Job
and relations, yes.
Like, not only did you meet, what? You're engaged. Like, what? Okay. Yeah, it's a lot. All right.
Gopher and Isaac give Wendell the emergency fund because they're family.
Oh, I know. I have that it written down like
terrible. What?
I thought Wendell was going to cry a little bit.
Steubing tells Wendell that being part of a family means knowing how to forgive too. What?
Shut up.
You're a passenger on a boat with 598 other people. You've been on this boat for like 2 days.
You pay for a ticket. It's a means of transportation and like entertainment. And he's saying being part of the extended Pacific Princess. What? What are you? You're weird. Like no one wants to go. If word of mouth gets around about like,
right.
Yeah, they act like they treat you like they say your family when you get on. They don't want you to leave. And Julie tried to make out with my grandfather. Like,
so I'm trying. I was trying to think, and nothing sprung to mind. I was trying to think of emergencies we've seen. You know who should have gotten that $635? Radar, for sure.
Oh yeah,
they left him for dead in the room with the dog.
Yeah,
the Jeffersons. Got stuck in the elevator.
Stuck in the elevator. Yeah.
There's got to be at least one other person that deserved that money.
Anybody deserved it more than this guy. He tried to like cheat everyone. If they hadn't got that money back, it's not like he would have been like, you know what? Something tells me I'm part of the extended Pacific Princess family. Stop it. This guy was being a scumbag trying to. You're trying to hustle everyone on the ship. Everyone he came. Oh, you want to play gin rummy?
Hey,
everyone.
You know what doesn't pay your mortgage is being part of the extended Princess Lime family.
You get no money for being part of that extended family. And probably not a discount either.
And I'll tell you another thing. I know it's a boat, and so technically the captain gets to decide. Mm-hmm. But like, if I'm Vince, who we know fell off the steps, right? Or say I'm the officer of the watch and a dolphin bites my hand or something.
Yeah.
Like, where's the money this week? Oh, that card scammer got it.
So you're telling me that
Potter's got your money.
This Pacific Princess that has all these people all the time, right? This big company. If something goes bad, you have to rely on a box of cash that's got a few hundred dollars in it to try to. There's no better method. You can't.
I mean, petty cash was a phrase back then, right? I mean, that's probably what it is, but it is unusual. And shouldn't the Princess Line have some sort of merge? Like, I wonder if we'll ever see this thing again.
Why does he have to think? Why didn't he put the money in the safe? It's not his money. Why is he just counting it and counting it and recounting it?
Carrying around in a box. Like, yeah. It's the Depression.
Right. Like, do you save your butter papers too, Gopher? What's up, man?
What kind of house does the Sneeds have? Because $635 for a mortgage. Now, again, I may have a house, but I will not pretend I understand mortgage things. But I'm pretty sure when you take out a mortgage, it's for multiple months. It's not just like you're not
right. It's not one. Oh, you took out a loan for $600 or $400, and you're gonna have the four plus the interest,
right?
And you borrowed it for this.
So we're talking like what, a $80 house? Like, what is that?
It can't be much. I mean, this is before like miniature houses. There are people living in like Sprinter vans or whatever.
They don't live in Los Angeles because you can't afford, even in 1978, you can't afford.
No. They have a tent. They own a tent together. That's why the grandkids can't visit. They're like, Dad, what are we going to do with the kids? All you guys live in a two-man tent. What are we supposed to do with the kid? You don't even have a bathroom.
That's why Ida can't fly. A raccoon got in and chewed her ears up.
She thinks it's like the act of wizardry with planes in this. They're all anyway. It's just a weird. There's holes in the story, but
you're telling me that the Sneeds don't have a big old Studebaker that they can't drive to Mexico?
Oh yeah. It's a big. Come on.
Act five.
Actually, that's the NBC movie of the week next week is the Sneeds drive to Mexico in a Studebaker on their gin rummy money.
But it's haunted by the engineer of Henry Studebaker. Mm-hmm. Stubing is back on the walkie-talkie. This is the thing we talked about.
The joystick thing that he's not doing anything. Yeah.
I like that they open scenes with stuff like that, though.
I think it's a good way to, like, it's a nice segue into,
make me feel like
show us something. That we're on a cruise.
I'm really on the boat.
Yeah. Still haven't seen the bridge yet. Just saying.
Or we have 20 episodes.
Maybe is this the bridge?
I think so. I think it might be.
The bridge? Outdoor Bridge, Great California.
I think that's the bridge.
All right.
I think we might have to settle for that.
He's like method acting. What if the stick was sticks were a wheel?
What if that's not even like in the shooting script? He was just doing that one day, and they left the camera on.
Not
that's
even a surveillance film. On his break, he's doing that. That's Gavin. That's not Captain Stubing. That's Gavin doing that, acting crazy.
The two married couples are now fast friends because everybody apologized to each other, yeah. And they're going to go vacationing again together next year.
Crazy.
That is not going to happen.
No.
That is not happening.
No. Ever.
What would Herb's actual reaction be? Like, he'd kill somebody, right? He'd kill Doc or Stubing or something. He was so worried about his daughter.
He'll kill Howard, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, just, you know, it was weird. How did he get on the boat so fast, by the way? Of all those people getting off the boat, Lauren, what is he, just teleport? What is he, Genie? He's just there.
He knows people. He's friends with the captain. Maybe that's who was on the walkie-talkie. Herb was like, hey, I'm here. And Stubing's like, that line. I
let this guy on first before we let anybody off.
There you go.
Come on in, Mr. Lawrence. Sure.
Come on real quick. Your daughter has made a terrible mistake. Doc ends up with the pickup book, which was funny.
Yeah, which I thought was funny.
That was pretty funny because they throw it away and he catches it and sticks it under his arm. So be curious to see if Doc is back on the rebound next week. We can give
credit. Oh, yeah. He's laying all those lines. He probably wrote the book.
The Sneeds leave, and Wendell swears that he'll pay Gopher back all the money.
How?
Why?
How?
Either
oh,
way.
Oh, wait a minute. He broke. But there's no money to exchange. Wendell didn't have any money. Gopher had the money. He won the money. He never gave it to him, and he won.
No. So here's the chain of custody on the actual physical money.
Okay.
Gopher has the money in the box.
Right.
Gopher loses to Mr. Sneed.
Right.
But doesn't pay him until noon the next day when he goes back to the room and he brings the money.
Gotcha. Okay.
Then they bilk him. And then if you remember, at the end of that scene, he shows that they have the money. Everything is even. We got our money back.
Okay.
Then they put it in the envelope.
They gave him the money. Okay. That makes sense.
So why would Harry Morgan pay? What's he going to do? Just show up at the boat and be like, hey, here's $8.
Yeah, every week. Yeah, here's, I'll play you. If you beat me, it's just, what are you going to drop off? $6.83 every 2 weeks. How long? Assume,
like the princess. Well, the other thing is too, like, listen, brother, you don't have a lot of money anyway in your $80 house. Like, I mean, you keep that money.
Well, he must have lived close. He's getting into a cab. Again, how are you paying for the cab? You live across the street in a tiny house. I don't know. It's so weird.
We do end with cabs, which is nice. I did enjoy I did enjoy the throwback. We had a bunch of episodes with that kind of as an ending, but
stopped it.
This was much better than what we've had lately, which is, we've talked about, Act 4 ends with some sort of poignancy, and Act 5 ends with a bunch of people chuckling at the same thing. So
yeah.
I was glad that we got past that. So
I agree.
And that's the episode. So this will be interesting. Tiddles in a recap, King of the Mountain. I feel like you are leaning in a direction.
It's tough, man. It's tough. I think Howard. I mean, for me, it's Howard. He was an inspiration. He put away that book.
You're just skipping. You're just skipping King of the Mountain.
What's that?
King of the Hill. King of the Hill. Is this the best episode?
Oh, I'm sorry. Man,
you think after 20 episodes, you would know how to do these things.
Just got excited.
I know. You're just so excited about Howard.
I am. I love that guy. King of the Hill. It gets harder because the episode that I thought was the best one, it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's not fair to give it a rewatch. I'm hesitant to say this is the
I will one. Say I will say no. And like I said, I've been prepping for the Stubbies, so I've gone back a few episodes, and we were very much on board with that episode. And I think the thing we have said is all three storylines have to hit.
Yep.
And this feels like 2.5 storylines hit. I was disappointed Desmond. Because it's so hard to mess up a card shark storyline, but there was just
too many opportunities for it not to make sense.
The ending is too heartwarming. It's just like
family
stupid. So honestly though, the other two tip top. Yeah. And if they had landed the plane on the card thing,
I think close. So it'd been worth an argument.
Top five,
I'd agree.
Have to really think about it being a top three, but it's as good as we've had in a while.
Oh, I would definitely say out of the 20 episodes we've watched, this is definitely in the top five. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And again,
maybe higher, but I don't know how that.
I'd have to look, but like, I feel like that the tens that we went through was a particularly bad stretch.
Yeah, it was. It was.
So, well, keep in mind, this was definitely of a better quality.
I go back to the fact that this was rated a 6.7 on IMDb, right? And last week's episode was rated higher. And obviously, just based on the conversation we just had.
We don't know who these people are that are rating these, though.
I'm thinking about just stop looking at the IMDb rating because I just don't agree with it.
I'm sorry I brought it up. I feel like you're really not going to agree with it when we get to that Hogan episode.
Hogan's gold. You can't.
I'll go first on Captain of the Week since you kind of...
I've spoiled it. Yeah.
I'm going with Max and Gladys. I'm actually a big fan of the guy who played Max. He was great in Soap, and he was actually one of the few good things about the Three's Company spinoff. He played Jack Tripper's father-in-law.
Is that Three's a Crowd?
Three's a Crowd, yes. I just really like him. I thought he was good. And obviously we've talked about Audrey Meadows. And I will say this, they didn't overstay their welcome with that storyline.
I agree.
They ended it appropriately. It felt like realistic, but I just really actually enjoyed that. The show has a tendency to, like you say, paint with broad brushes.
Yeah.
This was like a bit of a nuanced thing, which I liked. They were not the Lockhorns. Right?
No,
which is
no,
funny
because
they always say that, but they weren't.
No, they weren't.
Go ahead, do your Howard bit.
Howard, you know, it's just simple. I thought he I was rooting for the character. I thought the actor did a great job playing the character. I just liked it. I enjoyed it. I like to have somebody to root for in these. So I would definitely go with Howard.
Walk the Plank, worst of the week.
Captain Steubing. If I don't go, I got to tell you what, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say Robert Urich. Okay. And I'm going to say that.
Whoa.
I love Robert Urich. Why don't they ever give him anything to really do? This is the second time. It's like
this was only good in relativity to the other role he had. It's still
right.
Wasn't
great. Yeah. Like I was jazzed he was there, but I'm like, come on, Spencer for Hire. Give him something to. Dude, like he's never involved in a storyline that he can like. I feel like you can sink your teeth
stretch out really yeah, show his chops. Yeah,
he's just a guy. Like there's nothing else. He's just a guy that just got married. So boo.
I kind of hinted at it. My Walk the Plank is just the card shark storyline.
Yeah.
He wasn't good enough to be a scam artist.
Right.
But he wasn't bad enough to think that this was the way to get the mortgage. Like it was just like it was just weird. Like I guess they were going for like Hooker with a Heart of Gold, but it was just like I don't know. I just really think it would have been better if he was a scam artist and the crew had to figure out how to, or if he was like an old timey scam artist and he had to, like, you know, like The Color of Money, right? Where he had to like break out his old pool cue or something like that, right? There would have been something where he gets his old cards and he does the thing and he blows dust off it or something. Right. Like that.
Welcome or back, Mabel, or something.
Or if he's just good, like not cheating, but just good.
Right. 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 So they, again, also shout out to Diana Canova's character being named Ellen again. The only way I'm going to forgive that is if she ever comes back, that she's always named Ellen.
Or if she's Helen next time.
Or Melon. Whatever. Or yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate the joke there, but otherwise that's just ridiculously lazy. So.
It is. It is.
Plugs?
Plugs. Check us out. You'll find us on Instagram, The Love Boat Project. YouTube, we have all of our episodes or video episodes as well. Love Boat Project on at YouTube. We have a Facebook group, The Love Boat Project on Facebook. And Mike, you know, it's my favorite time of the episode. You can reach out to us via email at theloveboatproject@gmail.com. So let's check the old inbox, see what we got. No mail. All right.
Oh.
No mail.
I feel like we need to get you like a bag.
What's
like you should print out all the emails we get.
I did. We didn't get any. I don't need a big mail bag.
Apparently. We're not quite there yet, but at some point, don't email in, because at some point I want it to be Vera from Cheers. Like, I don't want there to ever be an appearance of a mailbag question.
Don't listen to him. Email us. Yeah. Please.
Yeah. Make sure you give us suggestions, because I'm definitely going to listen to those.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah.
That's it for episode 20. Next week is 21. I did not actually look ahead. I don't know if you did.
I did not look. No. Oh, I did look ahead. Do you know who we see again next week? We have another repeat.
Man, we are hitting the repeats hard now.
Mr. Leslie Nielsen is back.
Really? Oh, that's good.
So
he was good last time. So
I thought so. Love Leslie Nielsen.
I will say this, just looking way ahead, episode 22 is bonkers.
Oh, I can't
as
wait.
As far as the plot. So there's a lot going on there. So,
and we have a very special guest on episode 22, I believe.
We
right?
do a special guest. Yes, we do. Fantastic. And don't forget, May 6th, the Stubbies.
Mm-hmm. Mark your calendars. It's going to be a hoot.
I'll be in a tuxedo. Mike will probably have that hat on. It'll be great.
I'll probably have this hat on with like a tuxedo t-shirt, but yes.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
But that is it. So thanks, everybody, for joining us, and we will see you next time.